Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. Here we are on a Sunday morning here in Denver, Colorado, where it is actually a very rare rainy Sunday morning. So just kind of grounding myself into what's happening here. You know, this still feels kind of awkward to be recording on Sunday. You know, as I said, there's such a biological, I said this yesterday during the recording, there's such a biological sort of familiarity to what's, you know, a familiarity that our biology creates, right? And so when we switch something like this, even though it's, you know, very intentional, and even though there's not really any conflicts or anything like that, it just feels funny, right? It just feels different. And this is actually going to play into what we're going to talk about here today. So I'm really excited to kind of start the conversation this way, right? But the idea that we can, you know, like have this sort of, you know, automatic sort of habitual feeling about something, right? Even though, again, there's no reason for it, right? Like there's nothing about Saturday in my life currently that's any different from any other day, or Sunday that's any different from any other day, really, right? I don't have a 9-to-5, you know, kind of thing. My children are homeschooled. They don't go to virtual school or anything. We've been homeschooling since before the pandemic. So in my life particularly, there's no structure that kind of delineates or differentiates the, you know, the weekdays versus the weekends. So in theory, it should just be a seamless thing. It should just not have any kind of impact at all, whether I record on, you know, Sunday or Tuesday. It just shouldn't matter, right? But it does. It really does. There's a feeling that comes with it, right? And this feeling that comes with it, right, really ties into our inner dialogue, or in this case, my inner dialogue, right? But we all have this inner dialogue, right? It's this sort of, you know, this sort of voice in our head in a certain way. I mean, of course, it doesn't necessarily come out as a literal voice in our head, like that you can hear something, right? You know, that's a little bit of a different thing, and usually is associated with a psychological pathology, right? Like schizophrenia or something like that. But the internal dialogue, this internal chatter that happens in our mind, right? It happens for everyone, right? And so, you know, what that chatter is saying, though, is really, really important, okay? I mean, that's an obvious point, I guess, but so many times we are listening to our inner dialogue or inner chatter without understanding that we're even listening to it, right? And that's a really big, important kind of concept here, and something that I want to explore today, right? Because the inner dialogue takes on many different sort of forms, right? There's the inner dialogue that says something like, oh God, Art, how did you screw this up again? You know, when are you going to learn, Art? Come on, man, right? There's that inner dialogue. But then there's also the inner dialogue that's just going throughout our day. Like, okay, you know, I'm getting in the car and this is exciting. I'm excited about this drive that I'm going to take. Or oh gosh, I'm getting in the car. I really don't want to do this. This is like really, I don't like this, right? And so the thing is that this inner dialogue, right, even though we might not necessarily hear it, and for all of you on the podcast, I'm using air quotes around the word hear it, right, because even though it's not something that's like audible, we might not even notice that it's even there, right? It's just so much a part of, you know, kind of who we are and how we sort of, you know, move through our lives. And it's also something that we've been doing for our whole lives, right? Like this inner dialogue that you have, this mental chatter that you have, has not really changed since you were a very young child, right? Except that tone may have changed here and there, right? You may be a little more supportive of yourself now than you used to be, or you may be a little harsher, a little more, you know, demanding of yourself, a little more, you know, even borderline abusive of yourself, right? Than you used to be, right? That part of it has changed, but the actual sort of who's doing the speaking inside your mind, that hasn't changed at all. And in all likelihood, the inner chatter or that mental chatter, the inner dialogue, you know, is pretty much the same as it's always been, right? And so the question then becomes, how much of that is impacting our sort of three-dimensional life, right? Our interactions with each other, our willingness or unwillingness to do certain things or not do other things, the ability to have an optimistic outlook on things, right? And it, of course, also the inner dialogue also plays into our resilience, the ability to pay attention, and our generosity as well. So really, they're combined with all four of those constituents of our well-being. If you remember a podcast I did a few weeks ago, talked about the four constituents of well-being as described by the neuroscientist Richard Davidson, who is an amazing person. But he describes the four constituents of well-being, meaning that as much as these things are alive in you and represented properly within you, then that's the degree to which you are well or unwell. And those four constituents of well-being, again, are resilience, attention, outlook, which is the ability for to see a positive potential in the circumstances and the people around us, right? And then the fourth one is finally generosity or altruism, right? And this inner chat, this inner dialogue, and this mental chatter is going to impact all of them, right? Like resilience, right? The inner dialogue, the mental chatter is the one that's saying, oh my gosh, this is so bad. This is so terrible. I don't know, I don't deserve even to even be better than this. And this, you know, this is just so horrible. It's always going to be this way. It's never going to change, right? All these things. Does that sound like the mind of a resilient person? Probably not, right? Attention, right? Like, you know, the more that inner dialogue becomes, you know, loud, you know, that's really what becomes the monkey mind, right? The jumping from one thing to another and bouncing back and forth and never really knowing where our attention is, and much less being able to control our attention, right? And to direct our attention and hold our attention onto something, right? So that's number two. Let's see, how are we going to go 4 for 4? I think we are. Number three, of course, is the outlook, right? And that's the obvious one to me, right? And maybe that's just because of my inner dialogue, but you know, the outlook, right, is that thing that says, like, hey, you know, this might work out, right? Like, or asking the question, what, you know, what's the best thing that might happen right now? As opposed to saying, oh my gosh, when is this going to screw up? How bad is this going to be? What's the worst thing that's possibly going to happen to me today, right? Inner dialogue, right? And so again, that outlook is very much tied to the quality of those words that you're using to yourself and how you're sort of, you know, perceiving and processing that inner dialogue, that mental chatter, right? And then fourth is generosity. Now, if our inner dialogue is all talking about, like, you know, how bad we are and how horrible things are in our lives and how terrible everything is and all that kind of stuff, right? Well, then do you think we're going to have a capacity even to be generous with others? Of course not. Of course not, which is why, actually, back to Richard Davidson and his wonderful book called Altered Traits with Daniel Goleman, another great mind in this world. They actually put it that in a very layman's terms, right? You know, to practice compassion, you know, means to be worried, you know, kind of concerning yourself with others and their issues and their problems, which doesn't leave you room or time to think about your own problems. Right. So even on a very sort of, you know, matter of fact level, that exists. Right. Of course, it's much more complex than that, why compassion works. But on a very sort of logistical and almost visceral level, well, that could work. I mean, that could be enough for anybody. Right. Just the fact that by practicing compassion, you're more concerned with the well-being of others and therefore not so focused on yourself. Right. And again, it's much more complex with that. It has to do with the default mode network of our brain and all kinds of stuff that I don't want to get too deeply in, but truly it is there, right? And so there you go. We went 4 for 4, how each of the four constituents of our own well-being, and this, of course, our well-being includes our holistic well-being, right? Because we know that our psychological well-being impacts our emotional well-being, and our emotional well-being impacts our physical well-being. So literally, you know, you're less likely to experience diseases if you are, you know, maintaining these four constituents of well-being. So it's not just about being healthy in your mind. It's not just about feeling better. It's not just about having a better sort of emotional experience in life. It's literally about every aspect of your health, right? And again, it's all tied into how we talk to ourselves, right? I'm going to give you an example of this, right? So this weekend, right, has been, you know, coming into this weekend, it was very tempting for me. And actually the chatter did arise a few times where, and I think I even mentioned this yesterday without even thinking this way, but you know, the chatter arose that said, you know, Art, this is going to be hard. Like, are you sure? Yeah, I don't think you really want to do this. Like, it's going to be too awkward. It's going to feel too weird. You know, maybe people aren't going to be listening. Maybe, you know, maybe people aren't listening as much on Saturdays and Sundays, so you can actually lose listeners, or maybe people are going to get upset that they're not hearing things on Monday and Tuesday. All of these different things that would come in that would, you know, that did come in that could have, you know, made me make the decision or push me towards the decision where I say, all right, you know what? This is not a good idea. I'm just going to continue to not have any days off, right? And I'm going to continue to just work 7 days a week until I drop dead, I guess, right? Is that what we're going to do? Inner dialogue? Is that the good idea? And the inner dialogue says, yes, that's what we got to do. I know it seems awful. And I know you want those 2 days off, but you know what? It's just not in the cards for you, buddy. Right? That's how the inner dialogue creates the reality of our external world, right? Because that inner dialogue could have pushed me to make that decision, right? And that decision, of course, would have impacted me in many, many ways, because as we know, you know, if we don't have a single day off, then that's really going to be detrimental to my health in many ways, right? And so this decision is not something that happens in a vacuum. This is a decision that impacts every aspect of my life, right? But the inner dialogue is what allows me to say, let me first back up for a second, okay? So the inner dialogue said all of that stuff, right? But now the question is, how do I relate to that inner dialogue, or how do I influence that inner dialogue? Because we can always do that, right? That's the beautiful thing, is that we can cultivate a compassionate and supportive way, and a way that is encouraging, a way that is open and accepting and forgiving, right? We can cultivate that kind of inner dialogue with ourselves, that kind of mental chatter, a mental chatter that is present, accepting, you know, curious and compassionate, right? And that's what I've been working on these last few days, is by instead of allowing that mental dialogue to say, or that inner dialogue or the mental chatter, pick whatever combination of those you like. I seem to not be able to settle on one, but what, you know, that mental chatter, right, was trying to convince me to not do this weekend, but instead keep things the way they are. But I know that the way they are is not sustainable, and I need to make this change. So therefore, right, what I did was I said, let's just do it and see what happens. Let's just go through the motions of doing the podcast, right? I know how to do it. That's something I could do any day, right? Like, it doesn't matter what, where I am, who I'm with, what time of year, what the weather, I've done this now 500, and this is 520, I think, today is the amount of episodes. And that doesn't even count, like, I think there's like 50 or so that I did before I even started numbering them, right? So we're inching up on 600 times that I've done this. So you know what? I know how to do it, right? That's not the problem, right? The problem is whether it's aligned with what I'm believing I can accomplish, right? And so now my inner dialogue can change to saying, well, look, let's just take this weekend and see how it goes. Let's apply curiosity to this, right? Let that inner dialogue include that curiosity and that compassion, right? And say, like, and forgiveness too, right? And this is what I've been telling myself the last couple of days, like, hey, listen, dude, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be like every other episode you record, right? You know, every episode you record from Monday through Friday, you know, you're in a certain frame of mind there. And that shows in the content. And so don't be surprised or go into this with the expectation that it's not going to be perfect. But that is okay. You don't need to be perfect. What you need to do is you just need to show up as art and do what art does. And people are either going to benefit from that or they're not. But that is no bearing on me, right? That's not my thing. All I can do is show up with the best of what I've got and try as I know how to try and deliver what I'm delivering, right? And then curiosity allows me to see that even though, like yesterday's episode, I'll be honest with you, I felt like it was a dog. It was terrible. I didn't feel comfortable. I don't really listen to my episodes very much, and maybe I should, I don't know. But I just, you know, I between not having enough time and just like kind of, I mean, once in a while I'll re-listen to one or two, but not generally. You know, I don't like check out everything I record. I mean, obviously it would take a lot of time, right? I mean, it'd be over an hour a day, right? And so, or a half hour a day or something like that, and I'm busy, right? And so I don't do that, right? But I always have a feeling for how it went, right? And even though that feeling can be deceptive, it goes back to one of the things I used to talk about with Jerry Garcia, right? That he, you know, he one time said that that there was a time where he came off stage and he actually pushed his bass player down the stairs coming off the stage because he was so upset with the lackluster, you know, kind of performance that the band gave, right? But a few days later, he listened to a tape of that performance and he realized that it was just crackling with energy. He didn't feel that while he was on the stage, right? But that's what came through, right? So again, that's a big lesson here about that inner dialogue, right? Jerry Garcia's inner dialogue was telling him, push your friend Phil down the stairs here because you're so upset because you all just came out really flat, right? Turns out that wasn't true at all. Right, which is a very big part of our inner dialogue, is very rarely accurate, you know, very rarely, because it's you know, based on so much subcontext and so much, you know, circumstantial kind of, you know, aspects of what's going on that it's almost impossible for it to be flawlessly accurate, right? And so what I've done now, you know, yesterday's episode was, it didn't feel good to me, right? And of course, it kind of needs to feel good to me for me to keep doing it, right? And that's something else Jerry was saying. Like, it matters to him how he's feeling. And so he can do what he needs to do to get himself to feel good when he's going on stage. But if he's not feeling good, doesn't mean that the performance is horrible, right? Which is the same for me, right? But in terms of getting to that place where I feel good on Saturdays and Sundays and doing this, right? That is only going to come by doing it. And doing it again and doing it again and then one more time and keep going until it feels natural, which is the same exact thing that I'm always telling you about practice of mindfulness practices and meditation, right? It's not, you don't figure this stuff out in the first couple of practices, in the first few days or few weeks or something like that. And you don't need to. That's not what it's all about, right? It's about going into the practice and just doing the practice, right? And learning through the process of doing the practice. That's where the magic is. Right. And so again, my inner dialogue became one of, as we were leading into like Friday, Thursday, coming into the weekend, my inner dialogue was one of, let me be very clear here, I cultivated an inner dialogue of curiosity and of forgiveness and compassion for myself and for you. Right? Like, I'm doing this because I'm compassionate for you, but I'm doing it also because I'm compassionate for me, because I know that I might not do great and I might, you know, I might feel let down with my performance. And that's okay, right? I can forgive myself. I can support myself through those feelings, right? And so how did I change the inner dialogue? Right? Now that's the question, right? That's the million-dollar question right there. And the way I changed it, well, there's two ways, right? Number one, of course, it's practice, right? It's just simply doing it, right? It's just doing it over and over and over again until it becomes natural, until it becomes an automatic emotional response, right? But in order to do that, there's a really crucial step that I have to hear my inner dialogue first. I have to notice my inner dialogue saying the things like, "Ooh, Art, I don't know if this is a great idea. You know, we're in uncharted territory here. Are you sure you want to do this? Like, are you sure it wouldn't be better to just keep working 7 days a week and just doing what we can to get rest and just kind of, you know, are you sure, Art? Like, this feels unsafe. This feels unnatural. This feels unwise," right? I had to hear that dialogue first before I could change that dialogue to suit me. Okay. Now, again, we're not talking about hearing voices in the classic, you know, schizophrenic sense, right? But it's about listening to ourselves, right? It's about tuning into ourselves. It's about dropping into the awareness of how we're talking to ourselves. Because we're always talking to ourselves, right? Many, and some of us more than others. And I do say us because I talk to myself all the time and I talk to myself out loud all the time, you know? My kids think I'm, you know, just they get such a funny kick out of it. But, you know, but I tell them, well, it just becomes a problem when I start arguing with myself. You know, or when I win the argument myself or lose it for that matter, whatever, you know, but the point is though, that the inner dialogue is happening all the time from when we're very, very young till the last breath we take on this earth, right? Our inner dialogue is happening, right? It has to do with the ego versus the superego versus the id, all that stuff. It's in there. It's very complex and it's not something I can describe in a 30-minute podcast for you. I am going to cover this in a few upcoming episodes next week because I feel like it's very, very important to understand these concepts, right? Specifically because, you know, the inner dialogue, you know, again, it's not just like a lot of the things that are our automatic kind of behaviors and our automatic sort of reactions that we have to things. It deals with that programming that I talk about a lot. Right? From the time that you're, you know, from the time that you're old enough to conceptualize what's happening around you, maybe around 1.5, 2 years old until about 7 years old, 7 or 8 years old, that's the time where you become who you are. You become you lay the foundation for your personality, right? Your personality itself is formed during this time. And that your personality is your inner dialogue. Right. And that personality is impacted and very much shaped by how those people that you respected and admired and looked up to and trusted, how they spoke to each other and how they spoke to you. How they spoke to you is what's become that inner dialogue. So if you have parents who are very pessimistic, then, you know, or like I did, I had parents who were very pessimistic. I mean, of the four constituents of well-being, my parents basically come out zero for four, you know? So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot there, right? And so when I come, you know, that's what led me into this, you know, coming up into this, leading into this weekend, that, you know, the way they used to talk to me and the pessimism they used to express to me is what made me think like, oh, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Maybe I shouldn't be making this change. Maybe this is a mistake, right? Like this is going to turn out badly, right? That dialogue of how my parents talked to me when I was 5 years old is what came out at 52 years old 4 days ago, right? Like that's, it's all connected, right? And so the first step in being able to change this, and it is very easily changed, very easily changed with very simple practice, and it won't take long either. But the first step is to hear what your dialogue is telling you, right? Is to, you know, and that is evident in the thoughts, the sensations, and the emotions of our body, right? It's evident in them. So if we can pay attention to the sensations, the thoughts, and the emotions that we're experiencing, the inner dialogue will come to light from there, right? So it's not about listening with your ear. It's about listening with your whole body, right? Now, this is a little complex, and I'd be more than happy to explain this to you, and I can give you a very simple exercise to get you started on doing this. All right, I'd be happy to do that, but you got to reach out and you got to tell me you want it, right? I don't like just putting stuff out there that nobody's going to care about, you know? So if you want the exercise and you want to discuss the exercise, because that's really what should happen. It shouldn't be something I just give to you. You know, we should discuss it in the context of this kind of thing, right? And it's not just this. It's not just the inner dialogue. This practice will help with many, many areas of your life in terms of cultivating emotional intelligence, you know, which comes from self-awareness, self-regulation, empathy, motivation, social skills, all that, right? Like it's all in there. And so with a 45-minute conversation, we can certainly be able to handle this. And so you have a 45-minute conversation waiting for you. Okay. It's already got your name on it. Okay. It's already yours. You already own this thing. All you got to do is say, I want to do it. I want to claim it. And the way to do that is by clicking the link in the description below. Okay. It's a link to my calendar. You literally click it. It's going to show you my calendar. It's going to, you know, you pick a day, and on Wednesday, it's going to show you these are the times I'm available. If Wednesday's the day you want, pick one of those times that works for you, and boom, that's it. You'll get a couple of reminders that automatically happen. And then when that day and time comes, we'll be on the phone or on a video Zoom like this, whichever you prefer, which is one of the things you can answer in the questions. And that's all you got to do. Just kick back and let me do the work from there on. And this is what I like to say a lot, that a coaching relationship is really a 50-50 partnership, right? So your 50% is simply clicking that link and finding a time that works for you. My 50% is showing up with the information and showing up with the practice and showing up with the inspiration that I have for you. All right. I can do all that. I have no problem with that. But what I can't do is I can't schedule that appointment for you. That is something you must do for yourself. You must be able to take that first step. But once you take that first step, you'd be very surprised at how quickly you realize the momentum of a snowball rolling downhill, okay? In a good way. All right, everybody, I wish you well. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have any questions, you know, aside from clicking the link, you can also email me, okay? art@artburnscoaching.com is probably the easiest email you're going to have to remember today. All right. And I look forward to hearing from you. Okay. Otherwise, you're not going to hear from me again now for another couple of days. You will hear a new episode on Wednesday. It will drop the same day it's recorded, as always, about an hour after I record, I drop it. And I'm really excited for the next couple of days off. And I look forward to coming back on Wednesday. And really, we're gonna talk about this idea of self-talk for a few days, because it really is a deep subject, and it's just so important to understand and to again start listening. So if you want help with how to start that, just get in touch with me and I'll get you set up. All right, I promise. Have a great day, everybody. I wish you well. Take care.